Well, a new rule is going into effect later this month, a rule clarified by the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, the Clean Water Rule. And here to talk with us about its effect on Minnesotans is Gary Botzek, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Conservation Federation. Good morning, Gary. How are you? Yeah.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Indeed. Thanks for talking with us today. So clarify for me a little bit, this Clean Water Rule, is this a modification or a clarification? What exactly is it as far as its relationship to the Clean Water Act from the early 1970s?
Right. As you just alluded to, the Clean Water Act has a strong history, just like the Clean Air Act way back to 1972. So this is a clarification. There have been a couple of Supreme Court decisions that have weighed in on interpretation of the Clean Water Act as it's gone from point pollution where we had rivers on fire in the old days. That was point pollution, as we know from industrial waste and municipal waste treatment that used our rivers and other water bodies as sewers rather than natural resources assets. And so this is a clarification. The EPA and the Corps both very strongly thinking the navigable waters should include waters that flow into the bigger rivers, whether it's the St. Lawrence or St. Louis or Mississippi or Minnesota or St. Croix, the so-called navigable waters that can be used for boating, but it would also include wetlands, which are very important and valuable to sportsmen and anglers in Minnesota. As we know, we live for water and we live for the great cabin weekends, et cetera, and we love our water, but we're loving it to death in many cases, so we need to take a hard look at how to use water, but use it properly and try to conserve it for the future.
Now, in Minnesota, as you said, you pointed out very well that we really have a great resource with water, and we're known for our waters here, from anything from old beer ads to just the current tourism industry and its love of water for many different purposes, but it's not only a place to go and recreate, but it's a necessary source of life. It's our drinking water, our groundwater for many different purposes as well.
Yeah, very true. In fact, we just did an event here in the Twin Cities last week at a craft brewery, and you know, and the equation was clean water equals great beer, and that's so true with the rise of microbreweries and mini breweries, and you have them galore in Duluth and Superior, and people like good beer, but it's you have to have good water, you know, to make good beer, and that's, you know, that's just one of the aspects of drinking water. But we are drawing those aquifers down way too fast, and we're not allowing them to replenish. And when you had 10 inches of rain through Duluth here a couple of Junes ago, that was so fast it didn't have a chance to settle in. It, as you know, ran directly into Lake Superior. Right. That's not good either. So that's an effect of climate change. You know, the debate continues on that, but you know, when you have those kind of severe weather events, it's unusual. I'm not saying we haven't had them for, you know, for the life of the planet, but they seem to be happening more often, and that's affecting water as well, so whether it's surface water or groundwater as well.
Was the purpose of this clarification of Clean Water Rule, was it to add to the scope of the Clean Water Act, or was it just to sort of modify some of the rules or just clarify? What was the reason
clarify,
for it?
Clarify, yes. No expansion. In fact, the opposition, led by a lot of some of the bigger agricultural groups, are concerned that it is an expansion, but it's not. If you read it, it's lengthy, but it's not an expansion. It's a clarification of the existing law, if you will. Rules, of course, rule promulgation is designed to further define the gory details, if you will, of the law. And that's, we have that rulemaking process in Minnesota, just like federal government has it as well. So the EPA and the Corps of Engineers working together for a change asked and the president forward a clarification rule. And as you mentioned in the introduction, that rule is now out for interpretation, or I should say comment, by the groups. And many environmental groups, many conservation groups like the Minnesota Conservation Federation, National Wildlife Federation, ag groups, industry groups, mining, forestry, are being asked, are being allowed to offer their input. And that rule will be finalized, but not until they take into account, quote-unquote, the comments from the general public and the specific industries that are affected by water, and that, of course, is everybody.
It seems surprising, but it appears that there's a support from many different quote unquote, both sides of the aisle from many different types of groups, not only conservation groups, but hunting and fishing groups. And so it seems to have a bit of a multi political support.
It does. And my Minnesota Conservation Federation is a state affiliate of the National Wildlife Federation, who actually commissioned this sportsman's poll. And when they went out and interviewed 1,000 people across the country and then did another 1,000 oversampling, including 200 more in Minnesota, just talking to outdoor people. You have to identify yourself as an angler or a hunter, otherwise they wouldn't interview you. And so that's pretty good data. And they also don't just do the phone calls now. They do cell phones, and they also do emails, because the polling procedures have changed that much since landlines are kind of going away as another antique. But it's just overwhelming, as you allude, 80%, 90%. It's that strong amongst our hunters and anglers that are out there. They're kind of like our good friend Willard Munger used to, the late Willard Munger used to say, they're the canaries in the mine shaft. And if you're outdoors every day, you can tell what's going on. And you can tell by the way the birds sing or don't sing. And you can tell by the water. You can smell the water and not just see the water. And our outdoor people, and, you know, a big debate just started at the state capitol yesterday on Mille Lacs Lake. Look at the problems at Mille Lacs Lake and maybe the Dead Sea right now. And why is that happening? So we have those kind of problems with invasive species, many of which are coming through the Great Lakes into Minnesota. And so this water is very important from an economic perspective to this state, not to mention the fact that our bodies are 99% water as well.
Mm. So the comment period has been going on now since the rule was proposed in May. Does it have an effective date at the end of this month? Is that correct?
I should say the comment period goes through the end of August, and then they will take time to review those comments. So the rule could go in effect any time after that. I would expect it will be finalized by the end of the year.
Okay. Well, Gary, thanks so much for clarifying and helping us understand this these rules. It's very exciting to know that this is something that does indeed concern us all, and that all people many people are widely in support of this rule.
Very much so, Chris, and thank you for the opportunity. And I just encourage your listeners to contact their congressmen and as well as their senators and their state legislators as well, and speak up for clean water, because it's important to all of us.
Great. Thanks so much, Gary. Have a good day.
You too, sir. Thank you.
Bye. Gary Botzek, the executive director of the Minnesota Conservation Federation, talking about the Clean Water Rule, a clarification to some of the details of the Clean Water Act that has been in place since the 1970s.